You're listening to Unceded Airwaves by the Indigenous Collective at CITR 101.9 FM. Unceded Airwaves is broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, unceded, and current lands of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. I'm out of the gate and I know what it's about. I'm out of the gate and I'm doing it loud. I'ma write and write. No one can take my life. I'ma fight and fight. No one can take my light. I'm ready to take flight. That was in the plan. Damn was damn. My words catch fire and my connect wires. It requires to inspire to the smallest, to the oldest, who mold us. Ancestors' prayers upstairs that we heal and repair. No one can compare. They stare and they stare. I'm aware, head up, no glare. I'm in the light. I'm in the fight. I'm in the sight. I'm out of the gate and I'm feeling it out. I'm out of the gate and I'm making a sound. I'm out of the gate and I know what's about. I'm out of the gate. Your show intro today was by JB, the First Lady, Bangwizi. My name is Autumn Schnell. I am Treaty 11 Gwich'in and Inuvialuit on my mom's side. And on my dad's side, I am of settler German descent. Unceded Airwaves broadcasts every week from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded lands of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Do you want to introduce yourself, Josh?
Yes, I would. My name is Josh Keoki. I am here on Unceded Airwaves. I've already done my name. I'm from the Attawapiskat First Nation. I'm also a settler Canadian. And I'm very happy to be here. I'm an uninvited guest on unceded Musqueam territory. And I'm very happy to be with some members of the collective who are hosting, I think, for the first time.
Yeah.
My name is Madison Singh. I am from the Treaty 8 territory. I am Miksu Cree on my mother's side and East Indian on my father's side. And I'm really happy to be here.
Great.
Hi, and I'm Melissa Habrill. I am a white settler of German and Austrian descent. I'm from Epiquette, also known as Prince Edward Island, the traditional and unceded territories of the Mi'kmaq people. I'm also really excited to be here.
That's fantastic. And we'd like to acknowledge that we are uninvited guests on Coast Salish lands. And then we would also like to thank our sponsors, Decolonizing Water and NORAD Electric. And you are listening to Unceded 3, Episode 5 of Unceded Airwaves. Today we'll be talking to Adina Williams about her recent meeting with Premier Justin Trudeau.
Prime Minister.
Yes. Thanks, Josh.
It's all good.
And then chatting about a press release by the Northern Coastal First Nations about what's been happening in their waters. But before we get into it, let's set our intention for the day. We are the Indigenous Radio Collective. Every week we discuss Indigenous issues, current events, and entertainment. We are a collective of Indigenous and non-Indigenous students who use our weekly airtime for our own self-representation.
We strive to center Indigenous voices on our show and to build narratives that empower Indigenous people. Unceded Airwaves is our opportunity to share and define the diversity of our cultures and highlight some influential Indigenous people.
If you can relate to the goals of the show and are wondering how to get involved, please reach out. You can always reach us on our social media. We've got Facebook and Twitter. If you have a voice for decolonization, then we want to hear from you.
And everyone is welcome. There is no experience necessary. Our weekly meeting is every Monday at 4 p.m. at CITR in the lower level of the Nest. And if you want to get involved but don't want to be on air, there are plenty of opportunities for you to participate in the collective.
You can follow Unceded Airwaves on Facebook and Twitter. If you're aware of a great Indigenous artist, send us a tweet using the hashtag #UnceedMusic or send us a Facebook message at Unceded Airwaves and we'll do our best to get it on the air. And if we play a song that you send us, we will even give you a shout out.
We're always looking to hear from our listeners about what you're up to. So let us know about any Indigenous artists that you are into right now and what events you're attending or promoting. As always, we'll post a link to the podcast of this episode after the show. We'll have our weekly unceded events listening to share a little later in the show.
I hear a lot of people say that the Native community needs heroes. Well, we already have our heroes. So let's just take a minute to remember them.
And any man who knows a thing knows he knows not a damn thing at all. And every time I felt the hurt and I felt the giving getting me up off the wall.
I'm just gonna take a minute and let it ride. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it breeze. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it ride. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it breeze.
Had a Louis Riel become a Buffalo soldier. Stood up to Canada and the father of Manitoba. Had a Fontaine get the apology. He told the story, then he said, come on, follow me. That's the gift. I guess I'll pass it on like the teachings passed at the Sundance before dawn. How did Juanique take a knife to the ribs? Then represent this country, damn she forgive. And how does Leonard Peltier get out of bed each day? Finding hope in the hopeless, it's the Indian way. And why did Tommy Prince fight for all Canadian people? When right here at home he wasn't considered an equal. Overseas he fought with the heart of a warrior. Then came back home to be treated like a foreigner. So yeah. I'ma live real lavish for all the time that you called my people savage.
And any man who knows a thing knows he knows not a damn, damn thing at all. And every time I felt the hurt and I felt the giving getting me up off the wall. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it ride. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it breathe. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it ride. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it breathe.
Terry know that she should keep up the faith. Time to put the first Native saint in the proper place. How did Buffy St. Marie know to keep on singing? Bury my heart at Wounded Knee, it keeps on ringing. How did Freddy Krueger know he had to stand up? Since I saw that photo, knew I had to man up. How did Penguins know that he should help that white man? Did he understand that others would take his land? But damn, the worst is over now. The bro Adam Beach is on movie posters now. This is Big Wub, still reppin' the rest. Though I'm in the city, no, I won't soon forget what the elders taught me, always to share. My people don't want the pride, well, I don't care. How did Kanan know the world need this song? Well, I never know the answer, so I just sing along.
And
like
any man who knows a thing knows he knows not a damn, damn thing at all. And every time I felt the hurt and I felt the giving getting me up off the wall. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it ride. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it breathe. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it ride. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it breathe.
Yeah! Some true Native heroes right there. If you haven't heard of them, learn about them. I tell you to go read a book about them, but they don't write about our heroes in the history books. So go ask an elder. Go ask grandma. Go ask Cook'em. Better yet, ask Wap Canoe. I got opinions for days. Gladly talk your ear off. And this is just the beginning. This could be a 500-bar song. One bar for every year of oppression. One bar for every rhyme I got to make an impression on today's youth. Today's youth. Today's youth. Today's youth.
Let's have a battle of the
bands. CHRN Disorders Shindig is back for the 34th year and is hosted at Hastings Mill Brewing Company, formerly known as Pat's Pub, every Tuesday night.
We've curated a spicy roster of local musicians, and there are 27 bands, 27 winners, but someone has to take home the Shindig Windig crown from last year's champ, Little Sprout.
Come watch bands jam out, have fun, and battle it out for some rad prizes provided by our sponsors.
Sarah Fox Postering,
Nimbus Recording, Cannery Brewery,
Pandora's Box,
Vader Master Studios, Rain City Recorders,
Mint Records,
Music Waste, Live from Thunderbird Radio Hell,
Six Cent Press,
Blue Light Studios, Hastings Mill Brewery,
Print Print.
So come out to Pat's Pub November 28th for Singles Night to see King Buzzard, Mushy Face, and These Guy.
Can a rigorous examination of current events help us think more clearly about the meaning of such foundations in the light of institutions and emotions, virtues and vices? Come out Wednesday, November 29th, in McLeod, Room 254, to join Professor Thomas Heilig in discussing a close examination of the foundations of democracy, religion, and the current crisis. This event is sponsored by the UBC Graduate and Faculty Christian Forum.
The song you just heard was Heroes by Wapkinoo. Now I'll be sitting down with Idina Williams to chat about her recent meeting with Justin Trudeau at a press conference and her new political career.
Hello, my name is Idina Williams. I'm from the Squamish Nation here in Vancouver, BC. And I'm a third year First Nations and Indigenous Studies student here at UBC.
That's really cool. What have you been up to recently?
Last week I had the grand opportunity to meet with Justin Trudeau on two occasions. The first time with the United Nations Peacebuilding Conference, and then the second time at the announcement of the Women Delivery Conference coming here in June 2019.
Oh, that's really neat. And then how was your recent meeting with him?
Yeah, so the first one, I didn't actually get to meet him. I got to see him speak with fellow youth here from UBC. But the second one, I got to actually speak alongside Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, as well as Premier John Horgan and the CEO of the Women Deliver Conference.
Nice. Then can you set the scene for us? Like, how did you end up being in the position to meet him? Or, like, what brought you to that?
Well, I actually just found out 2 days before I was going to speak with him that they were interested in having me speak there. I actually just got an email. I was at the United Nations Peacebuilding Conference, and I was listening to some of the ministers talk. Pulled up my phone, checked my emails. All of a sudden, I have an email from the Prime Minister's advisor saying that she wanted to get in touch with me, that she wanted to invite me to an event happening on in 2 days' time, and that my name was put forward by Minister Jody Wilson-Raybould. And so it was a very kind of vague email, and I wasn't sure what to expect, but I did not at all expect to be asked to speak alongside Prime Minister Trudeau. I didn't find that out until I phoned her later that evening.
Wow. So were you like a panelist alongside him, or was it more like...
Well, it was an announcement. So it was a very short kind of like press conference kind of thing.
Okay.
So they had, as I said, I was the first speaker. After me, there was Prime Minister Trudeau and then Premier John Horgan and the CEO. And it was hosted by Madame Trudeau, Sophie Trudeau,
yeah.
Justin's wife. So, yeah.
That's really neat. And then what did you do with him? Was it just the press conference, or did you do like kind of other things as well?
Yeah, it was just the press conference where all the excitement happened with everybody else in the audience. And there was a pretty large audience there. And he left pretty quickly because he was going on to another press conference with John Horgan. But I was really interested and keen on getting a picture with him. So,
were you successful?
I was very successful, and I talked to the advisor and I guess some of the ladies that work with him wherever he goes, and they were kind enough to have me see him right after the press conference with Premier Horgan, and I got to share a few words with him and get an official photograph from his photographer and just share a few words. And it was really quite the thrill to be able to share some of the concerns that I have as an Indigenous youth and in the context of this conversation as a young Indigenous woman. So
that's really neat. And what did you share with him, if you're comfortable sharing?
Yeah, no problem. I mean, the core of what I said was in my speech, which I centered around the importance of having Indigenous women and girls in the conversations that will be taking place both prior to the conference and at the conference. And so if you're not aware, Women Deliver is the largest international women's conference in the world. And that was the announcement of the conference that I got to speak alongside him. And as an Indigenous person, I just wanted to make sure that people knew that if this conference is going to be taking place in Vancouver, and especially on the unceded territories of the Coast Salish peoples, that Indigenous women and girls must be not only a part of the conversations, but really at the core of them. And so,
yes.
Yeah, so
that's really neat.
I was really, really thrilled and honored to have the opportunity to share that. And I only had 3 minutes, so I had to be quick and concise, but I trust that I got the message across. Lots of young ladies came up to me after and asked me how they could be a part of those conversations. And they were from diverse backgrounds. They were first-generation Canadians, recent immigrants to Canada, and just really wanting to work towards getting involved in that dialogue. So that was really, that made my heart feel really good.
That's beautiful. I love that.
Thank you.
And then, so were you a part of the conference? What was the name of it again?
Woman Deliver.
Woman Deliver. Were you a part of Woman Deliver? And that's how you kind of got into...
Not at all. No, I actually honestly didn't even hear about it until 2 days before. But I've been doing my research on the conference, and it seems like it brings a lot of great voices together and allies and leaders in women's inequality, gender equality rights. But I do look forward to hopefully staying involved up until the conference comes here.
And being involved in the conference, maybe?
I would like to be. So,
yeah. I feel, were they the ones who put your name forward to...
No, it was a mystery to me for a really long time, actually, because in the email it just said that Minister Wilson Raybould had put my name forward, but I had only met her once prior to that meeting. So it was actually a professor here, Dr. Link Kessler, who put my name forward to Corey Wilson, who is a large part of the Aboriginal community here at UBC. She's on the President's Advisory Committee, I believe, and she's, of course, sisters to Jody Wilson Raybould.
So, oh, that's really neat.
Yeah, it was a really, it was a shock to get that email and to get the phone call, but nonetheless, a very honorable position for me to be in.
Yeah.
Sure.
And let's talk about your mom. What did your mom think of this entire situation?
Definitely. I phoned her right after I talked to Trudeau's advisor on the phone and said, Mom, guess what I'm doing? Who am I going to speak beside? And, of course, the prime minister was the last person she thought of. but it was really, for both of us, quite... it was just so sudden. We didn't have time to get excited or get hyped up about it. I just had to get down to writing something that was appropriate and clear to the audience. And so after the event, my mom works here. She works at the Longhouse, and she I came here after the press conference, and we just gave each other a big hug and. Talked about moment by moment what had happened, and I'm just really happy to have had her support along the way. In only 2 days' time, she was a very important part of forming what I had to say and helped me make it through my minor panic attacks leading up to it. So
that's fair.
Yeah.
And then what was your general feeling after you met Justin Trudeau and after the press conference?
So I wasn't sure what to expect. I knew that there were going to be a lot of women and girls in the audience, and I wasn't sure. I'm never sure how receptive the audience is going to be when we speak about hard truths, like the realities of Indigenous women and girls in Canada.
Yeah.
And I do a lot of public speaking, so I've had very receptive audiences, and I've also had very unreceptive audiences.
Yeah.
So I left this conference, or the press conference, feeling very hopeful, as I shared earlier, that there are so many young and young women and girls who came up to me after and shared their contact information with me and said, I want to be a part of this conversation. And what can I do between the time we start this conversation and the steps moving forward? What can I do to, help resolve the problems that you addressed in your speech? And, you know, just the fact that these are women from diverse backgrounds who live in Vancouver that want to be a part of the change, just it makes my heart so happy. And after I took a picture with Justin Trudeau, we shared a few moments talking, also expanding upon what I had addressed in my speech, which was about violence against women and also missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls.
Yeah.
And I just feel hopeful that that there's that what I said is going to be taken seriously, because there's, you know, so many times things get said and people just don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear or confront or acknowledge these hard truths of Indigenous peoples in our territories. And I didn't leave feeling that way. I feel like this is going to be a time of change, and I'm really happy that this is the time that the Women Deliver Conference should be coming here, when Canadians are finally ready to start talking about these issues that Indigenous women and girls are currently facing and how we can all be a part of the problem moving forward.
That's...
Or it's the solution, excuse me. So, yeah.
How we can stop the problem
forward. Yes.
That's really cool. Can you summarize your speech for us? Because you've kind of been talking about it a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, wait, did you say it was only 3 minutes?
It was only 3 minutes. We each had 3 minutes to speak. But I basically went into saying how I have grown up and I've been raised by my mom and my community to be a proud Squamish and Indigenous woman. But with that, I've also grown up knowing that as an Indigenous woman, I am at a high risk of facing many harsh realities. And I went into talking about the large amounts of violence that Indigenous women face, particularly domestic and physical violence, as well as sexual violence, and then into the large numbers of missing and murdered Indigenous women that we have here in Vancouver and in Canada, right, on a national scale. And I basically just reminded people that we cannot continue to let Indigenous women and girls be subjected to this violence, and that we need to help create a safe and caring space where not only Indigenous women and girls, but all women and girls need to feel safe, supported, and inspired to take risks and work towards achieving their fullest potential.
That's beautiful. So, what did John Horgan and Justin Trudeau speak about?
John Horgan brought a lot of excitement to the press release. He both of them touched on similar issues, and they were very broad in their approach to talking about it. Justin Trudeau mostly talked about his perspectives of why we need to have these conversations and take action on gender equality and women's rights in Canada and around the world, especially as he was talking about as a father of a young daughter and two young boys, and how we need to be having these conversations so that moving forward for them, that there will be a more equal world or equal Canada for them to live in. John Horgan brought a more personal approach in how he was raised by his single mother and how his mother helped shape his views on gender equality and women's rights. And as I said, he brought a lot of life to it. He was a very charismatic character. So yeah. I really enjoyed listening to them both. And they had great things to say about the conference and about the broader conversation about women's rights and gender equality.
That's really cool. And then also a couple weeks ago, this is kind of old news now, but Horgan brought up that we are situated on unceded territories.
Right.
How do you feel about that?
I mean, I think, you know, it's a great thing to finally acknowledge that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's huge. You know, in a sense, it can be, to some people, it can mean so very little. I know that a lot of people have been critical of it, actually, but I think it's huge that that's a part of the conversation. This is unceded territory, and it's very important to remind people of which land that they're on. And as a Squamish person, I find that it hits very close to home when people acknowledge that they are on my ancestors and my family's territory, and that, you know, it's not just something you say, it's a very large responsibility to acknowledge that you're on unceded territory. And I am very pleased to see that the Premier is doing that, and hoping that the rest of BC will follow suit. So,
yeah. And then also, Do you have any plans in the future for your new political career now that you're friends with Justin Trudeau?
For sure. I mean, that question has been coming up. You know, this is a really funny position for me to be in because this is not a path I at all anticipated being on. It just happens. So, as I said, 2 days before I found out I was going to be speaking with him, and that happens so frequently in some of the other things that I have been able to participate in. So, I am just happy that I am getting some of the very important issues, you know, that not just me, but alongside so many Indigenous leaders and non-Indigenous allies, that together we can be bringing very important messages that have been so long shielded from so many people in Vancouver and in Canada. So it's an honor, it's a privilege to be able to be a spokesperson on behalf of my people and to bring these issues to the attention of a variety of people in the various spaces that I get to speak at. So
that's lovely.
Thank you.
And finally, Unceded Airwaves started a tradition last year where we tried to call Justin Trudeau. we'd like to try again this year, but is there a phone number that you recommend using?
I can probably share that with you off air, but yeah.
We can do that? That's wonderful. And then is there anything else that you'd like to say?
Just thank you for the opportunity to share here on Unceded Airwaves. It's very good programming that I tune into every week.
Oh, you tune into it on Mondays from 11 to 12?
And I hope other people will join me. So
yeah, me too.
Yeah, but thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for helping me get this message out there. And I look forward to the next steps from here. I know there have been other, as I said, people have been trying to get in touch with me. So yeah. I look forward to sharing what those next steps will be.
And the spontaneity in those.
Absolutely.
Maybe 2 days before again.
Totally. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, thank you for making time for Unceded Airwaves.
Definitely. Hoichka.
Well, you remember the 70s much better than I were alive then. For one thing, it was the end of that decade when I arrived and you were here in Michigan. I crossed the border this morning with no trouble at all, picked up a car at the airport. She said, well, isn't Canada part of America now? And was surprised when I told her no. I am lost in the city, but don't take pity on me. I am lost in the city, but don't take pity. For every color of autumn and every leaf that's gotten, there's a weight that falls away. There's an inkling of freedom, an offering of reprieve in the woods here of Michigan. And every mile of the highway puts a mile behind me, a mile between me and the pain. Were that true, I would drive until the land turned to the water of Lake Superior. I am lost in the city, babe. Pity on me. I am lost in the city, babe. Don't take pity. Oh.
Have you ever used or wanted to use a community lending library, collective workshop, or bike co-op? Come out to Making Space, Questioning Power and Privilege in Makerspaces on Wednesday, November 29th in the Mount Pleasant Neighborhood House from 5 to 8 p.m. to examine how power and privilege shows up in makerspaces and explore strategies that support more inclusive and equitable initiatives. Go to diversityandmakerspaces.eventbrite.ca to register for this event, and there'll be free food.
So you're a member of CITR and Discorder, but are you a true friend?
Get a Friends of CITR and Discorder card for $20 with discounts on Commercial Drive at
Audio Pile, High Life Records, Mintage, People's Co-op Bookstore, Stormcrow Tavern, The Rio Theater, JQ Clothing Limited, and Bone Rattle Music Limited.
You just heard You Are Here in Michigan by Christina Couture. So here's a little bit of background on the fish farms. There's been a struggle around fish farming for quite a while now. Fish farming isn't really good for local species. There's a higher probability of passing diseases to wild fish populations and making younger fish more susceptible to diseases.
So antibiotics are used to try to counter some of those issues around the high populations they have in a fish farm, which can actually affect the antibiotic resistance problems that we see in human beings because we're consuming antibiotics through farmed fish. I don't know if any of you have seen the bumper sticker that says aquaculture feeds families. It's a strong sentiment on the coast. But like any industry, fish farming is pitched as an opportunity for jobs and for community development. But I think the benefits of fish farming to indigenous communities have been dubious, as fish farming can be pretty disruptive to the traditional practices that sustain indigenous communities for generations.
And then there was also a problem with whistleblower biologist Alexandra Morton. Through her research and publications, defines a case that is a problem with disease opening up from net pen fish farms. During her testimony, the inquiry looked more like an inquisition as government and industry lawyers tried to intimidate her and muffle the independent scientists. She basically went to court, and it was pretty... it wasn't very fair on her behalf, and that was fairly recently. And then in October 13th, a letter to Marine Harvest Canada says that the NDP government is committed to implementing the United Nations Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous People, UNDRIP, which includes the requirement that natural resources are developed with the free, prior, and informed consent of Indigenous First Nations, and Horgan wants investors, to look at UNDRIP going forward, not retrospectively, because it's been fairly retrospective in the past. And here's the press release.
Yeah, so we got a press release from the Northwest Hereditary Leaders, and it reads, Hereditary leaders from Wet'suwet'en, Gitxsan, Tsimshian, Heltsik, and Haida Nations are traveling to Alert Bay to answer the call of the Namgis, Muskamuk, Tsawatenuk, and Kwikwasutanuk Hawamis First Nations, who continue their stand to protect wild salmon in their territories. Members of the Namgis and Muskamuk Tsawatenuk First Nation occupied a marine harvest open net fish farm in late August near the Broughton Archipelago, citing the spread of disease and threat to wild salmon and their traditional ways of life can no longer go unchallenged.
Dinzia Namooks, John Risdale of the Wet'suwet'en First Nation, and other hereditary leaders from the Northwest BC share that sentiment and stand with the Namagos Nation in their struggle against marine harvest and open net fish farming along BC southern coast. The hereditary leadership of the Northwest are here to show our wholehearted support for the brave people of the Namagos First Nation in their fight against fish farming that threaten traditional food source or that threaten traditional food sources like wild salmon, Denzania Namuk says.
Indigenous groups along BC's north coast and interior, especially those along the Skeena River, home to BC's second largest wild salmon run, remain concerned about the impacts from fish farms in southern BC, as their potential to introduce new diseases into coastal waters threatens wild salmon throughout the province and the North Pacific. Denise Namux, along with the hereditary leaders from Haida Gwaii and Gitxsan Territory, will visit Alert Bay Saturday afternoon to meet with leaders of the Namgis, Muskamuk Dzawadenuk, and Kwikwatsutnuk Hasamis First Nations to show their support in the growing fight to cleanse their territory from unauthorized fish farms.
We all depend on wild, local, non-GMO salmon to feed our families, Namux said. It is a crime against nature, a crime against humanity to raise invasive salmon species along BC's coastal waters. We cannot sit idly by and let this happen while our brothers and sisters of this nation suffer.
In other news that kind of relates to the Indigenous struggle to assert sovereignty on the coast, yesterday in Heltsuk waters, a barge carrying up to 3.5 million liters of diesel and 450,000 liters of fuel disconnected from its tug, the Jake Shearer, in stormy conditions. As of this morning, there have been no reports of spillage from the incident. Vessels from the Coast Guard have been dispatched to attend to the barge and have established tow lines. Conditions are expected to worsen as the day progresses. This incident recalls the Nathan E. Stewart spill that occurred last year. Both involved American ships sailing through Heltsuk coastal waters, and both have brought the shortcomings of the province's current spill response to light. Touted as world-class, the response last year was unable to prevent the Nathan E. Stewart from leaking as much as 110,000 liters of diesel into coastal ecosystems in Heltsuk waters. Just 3 days before this incident, Chief Counselor Marilyn Slett of the Heltsuk Tribal Council published an op-ed in the Tyee entitled, "Here's a Spill Response System to Get Us to World-Class." In it, she discusses the Heltsuk Tribal Council's recent proposal for an Indigenous Marine Response Center, a solution to develop the emergency response capacity of coastal Indigenous communities who have always been the first responders to emergencies in their sovereign waters. To quote Marilyn Slett directly, "When these incidents happen on our coast, Indigenous people bear a disproportionate risk, and we are almost always on the front lines. Next time, for everyone's sake, we want to be able to respond safely, effectively, and immediately. Canadians have told us they want and need a better system. We believe the federal government will want to work with us and others to create that brighter future. The clock is ticking." And that came just 3 days before this happened. And as it stands right now, I don't think anything has spilled, but it is
a high-risk situation.
It is a very high-risk situation, and we had this happen a year ago.
So.
And it seems not much has changed on the legislative part of things in terms of like whether American ships are just allowed to go unregulated into these waters or anything.
Yeah.
And it seems like the capacity for communities to respond to emergencies that are going to affect them has not been improved significantly. So here's hoping that, that this particular issue resolves well, without like much in the way of spilling and all that, but also that this serves as another call to action for legislators, for the public, to protect the water, because one bad spill can ruin it for a long time.
It can be very detrimental. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you remember the 70s much better than I were alive then. For one thing, it was...
But I know alone, and I know what sounds played out, but this the road, my home.
If I'm cold, I'm hot to love. Baby, I don't wanna stay.
This is my chance, get away.
This is my chance, get away.
And I can think a brighter way.
every morning, every day.
You and I should try again, again.
You just heard You and I Should Try Again by Silver Jackson. And now we have our unseated events. Here we highlight Indigenous relevant events that you might be interested in attending. So the first one is Only Drunks and Children Tell the Truth, written by celebrated Indigenous playwright Drew Hayden Taylor. Only Drunks and Children Tell the Truth is the gripping account of the 60s scoop in which Native children were taken from their families, their communities, and their culture to be adopted into white households. This comically rich and devastatingly truthful production, first produced by the Fire Hall in the 90s, is an unforgettable piece of Canadian theater running from November 11th to December 1st at the Fire Hall Arts Center.
Poetry is Bad for You 5 is on December 9th at 8:30 p.m. at the Toast Collective and is including beloved Treaty 8 poet Samantha Nock, and it is a space where poets get together to read in a supportive and loving environment.
The Musqueam Holiday Craft Fair at the Musqueam Community Center on December 10th at 10 a.m. There's also a Tsleil-Waututh Craft Fair at 3010 Tsleil-Waututh Road, North Vancouver, on December 2nd to 3rd from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
There is a Decolonizing Practices Workshop for community organizations at the Pacific Association of First Nations Women, located at 2008 Wall Street, Vancouver, on November 30th from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. They want to know what is working and what is not working. They will take time to break down big words and good intentions into practical solutions. Everyone is welcome. RSVP on Eventbrite.
There's screenings of Sisnam, The City Before the City, at the International Vancouver Film Center from December 1st to 3rd. Sisnam, The City Before the City, commemorates 5 years since the resolution of a dramatic and compelling moment in the history of this place, now known as Metro Vancouver. In late 2011, the Musqueam First Nation learned that 108-unit condo development was being planned at one of their ancestral village sites without prior consultation with the nation. The ancient site, dating back over 4,000 years, has always been known to the Musqueam as Sisnam, but has commonly been referred to as the Eburn Midden, the Marpole Midden, the Great Fraser Midden, and DHRS-1.
So thanks for tuning in. Thank you to Adina Williams for being our guest on today's show. And thank you to our co-hosts, Josh, Madison, and Melissa. My name is Autumn Schnell, and you're listening to Unseated Airwaves on CITR 101.9 FM. The next show you'll listen to is Synchronicity, and we would like to take time to thank our sponsors, NORAD Electric and Decolonizing Water. And to finish off the show, we have a couple songs by a couple really great artists, including Saltwater Hank's Skeena River Breakdown.
Thank you. watch you run, run.
Thank you.